In the book of Genesis, where the author describes the creation, it's almost envisioned like a temple. The earth is the floor of this temple, and the dome in the sky with its lights, the stars, are like these pendant lights hanging here, you know, like the lights over there. It's like a building, it's like a temple. And so all of creation is created in the context of that temple of God. Now, in Greek and Roman temples, you had a building that was rather statuesque, and in the middle of that room inside the temple was a statue of the god or the goddess to whom the temple was dedicated. And that was the image of the deity. But in Genesis, there's no statue there. It's human beings who are created in the image of God. And the author very carefully uses the word image there, because this is different from all the other religions. This is the real God. And the real God has created everything. And then he puts his image in the middle of that temple, and that image is the human being. But of course, we wandered from that perfection. Sin happened. And Moses, who spoke with God face to face for 40 some years, knew God probably better than anyone on earth at that time. And he was frustrated over and over again by having given the law, this very simple law, the Ten Commandments, love God and love your neighbor. He was frustrated by their lack of ability to simply obey that law. And so here, as they're ready to enter into the promised land, Moses is giving his last speech to them. That's what we heard in our first reading. And he says, this law is not so lofty that you think it's up in the sky and you have to ask somebody to go up and get it for you and bring it down and explain it to you. It's already written on your heart and in your mind. It's natural. It's what the church calls natural law. It just makes sense. It's in our DNA. Created in the image of God, it's who we are to love God and love our neighbor. It's really simple, and yet it's so difficult. Now, St. Paul, in that second reading, picks up on that whole notion of the image. And he says, Christ is the image of God. And so he has put Christ into that temple to remind us of who we really are. And then in the gospel, Jesus gives an example, a story. And the Samaritan is Jesus in the story. And unlike the priest and the Levite who pass by this injured man on the other side of the road, the Samaritan offers him compassion, mercy, healing, mending, money, you know. So often helping people in need is more complicated. He puts him on his own beast of burden, takes him to an inn, puts him up there, pays for his keep, and says, when I come back through, I'll give you more money if you need it. I mean, the help that he gives that man is extended. It's not just a quick fix, a pill that solves the problem and then I can go on my way. It goes on and on and on. And this is one of the reasons we find it difficult to live up to the commandment to love our neighbor as ourselves, because people who are in need often need more than just something out of my pocket and 10 seconds and then I'm on my way. it's listening to their story. Offering them genuine compassion, and sometimes more money than we're willing to or ready to give, and more time than we really want to expend. This law is so simple, and yet, because Christ is the image of this, it is infinite. And that's symbolized by the cross. He brought reconciliation and peace through the blood of his cross. And this is who God is. God is the dying one. God is the one who goes all the way to the death, in other words, infinitely, with nothing reserved. He gives his complete self. And that's what scares the scribe. The reason the scribe asks, "Who is my neighbor?" is because he's looking for some kind of limitation on this, some kind of an excuse where I don't have to go infinitely. I don't have to give my whole life to this project. I can manage it. I can categorize it and make it doable and comfortable for me and still feel good about myself and still feel like I'm saved. And Jesus isn't going to let him off the hook. He asks, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus turns it around and says, "How can you be neighbor to someone else?" He doesn't really answer the man's question. He asks, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus says, "Here's how you can be neighbor to others." But it goes both ways, doesn't it? Infinitely. My neighbor is not defined by someone of the same color as me, the same religion as me, the same language as me. It's infinite. And the things that I have to do for that neighbor are also infinite. So how is this possible? We all listen to this and we say, "I don't know if I can do that." But here's the thing. We are baptized into this. It isn't really for us to figure out. It isn't for us to accomplish perfection. It's for us to be in Christ. And the Spirit of Christ will empower us. The scriptures say, don't worry about what you're going to say or how you're going to do it. Trust in the Spirit. Trust in the fact that the Spirit is constantly joining you to Christ, and in Christ and through Christ, you will accomplish great things. So relax. let the Spirit inspire you. So today, Denim is going to be baptized into this mystery. He's going to become one with Christ. We're going to grace him with Christ and the Spirit. And how that's going to work out in his life, well, that's yet to be seen. And how it's going to work out for us in the rest of our lives, that also is yet to be seen. Our whole life is mystagogy. Our whole life is unpacking this mystery that we were graced with from the beginning. And we're going to fail, and we're going to fall short, but we're going to have some successes too, and we're going to have some encouragement from others. It's a mixed bag. But it's a mystery that we trust and that we believe in, that we are members of Christ's body and therefore capable of infinity. Capable of infinite love and peace and reconciliation and hope.